fuck is wrong with this guy, man? You kidding me or what?
Fucking peasant.
Can't you stop saying fuck all the time?
Welcome to episode 8 of the Coin Rejects podcast, the podcast where we talk about all aspects of classic arcade game collecting, broadcasting to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm sitting here with my fellow rejects.
I'm Jordan.
Brandon here.
Ian.
And I'm Brian. And if you want to interact with us anytime between shows, you can email us at coinrejects@gmail.com. Visit our website at coinrejects.com. Or message us on Twitter at CoinRejects. So what's up, guys?
Coming soon, a voicemail where you can leave us audio messages, and in case you're lucky, you might even be heard on the air.
Wow, that's advanced.
Isn't that good?
That'll be advanced.
That'll be fun.
Fucking keep your powder dry, man.
The first person that sends a voicemail gets a dead Poke Chip.
We'll even throw in a 6502, sweeten the pot.
Nice.
2114 RAM, anyone?
Yeah. I got a whole collection of busted ass chips.
There we go. It's getting good.
All right. So what's up, Jordan? You got news.
Oh, I have to talk. This is a video game show, isn't it?
No.
This is all games? Coins?
Coin rejects.
Coin rejects.
You can reject coins from anything.
All right. I bought a game. I know. It's been a while. I haven't bought a game in a long time. And I think actually the last game before that was given to me. But anyhow, I bought a game. So here's the story. I was working on a race drive-in. That's like my new modern game that I've had forever. It's like 1989.
It's too new.
Yeah, it's too new. And I always thought, well, you know, I can't get it out of my basement. It's too heavy. It almost killed a guy, you know, like moving it down there. So it's got a 25-inch monitor, and it's up at the top, and it's terribly weighted and what have you. And so one day I was talking with the fellow reject Ian about tube swapping 25-inch monitors. I don't have much experience in these regards because I don't own any games with 25-inch monitors. He's like, oh, yeah, they're usually, like, good to go. If it's K7000, you don't swap the yoke. It's, you know, everything just matches up. And so I was... This is a great story. Okay, I was out helping another. I was out. This is getting like really contrived.
Lean in.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
So I was out helping another collector pick up a game. He needed a hand to pick up a Asteroids Cocktail. Oh, yeah, we talked about this. But anyhow, so on the way back, I saw on the street, I'm like, oh, there's a 25-inch TV. I'm pretty sure I need that for my race driving.
I need that.
And so we pulled over, and sure enough, it was 25-inch. It had a good tube, and so we grabbed it, threw it in the back of the truck. It rolled over once, but it didn't scratch the tube, so things were good. And I was like, okay, now I have this big fucking TV.
They're like, huge.
They're huge, yeah. I have this big tube TV on the floor of my shop, and it's really like kind of cramping my style here, so I guess I better get on it and do this tube swap. So I start tearing apart Race Driving, which is a terrible game to have to get to the monitor. You have to really take a lot of it apart to get the monitor out.
Yeah, that's most of the games with mirrors. The monitor's in the bottom. This one's actually up top.
This one's up top, as high as possible.
Does the monitor come out of the top of the cabinet?
It comes out. The marquee is extremely large.
Yeah.
That's where the monitor comes out.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Because, yeah, that's right up against the top of your ceiling in your game room.
I don't think it would fit.
You'd have to lay that thing down flat if it came out top.
I thought about it. I was like, when you told me that it was like that, I was like, oh, yeah. You have to think about it. Actually has pedals and it goes in, so there's nowhere else to really put it besides making the cabinet long, and that might as well be a cockpit then, which they had.
Which they did have, yeah.
Yeah, this is the compact cabinet.
This is the compact. This is, I tease Ian that this is a mini that he doesn't have.
It is. It's like...
It's the compact cabinet, only in that it's not 6 feet long. So, and also, it's barely in there. I mean, that neck board is like... You know, a half inch from the top of the cabinet. There isn't a lot of room there. Yep. even though it's like the tallest game I own, and I'm surprised it even got down my stairs. And you have to like take out like wood bracing and stuff. I had a pile of screws that it's like everything I was taking apart. I couldn't believe how much I had to take it apart.
Good times.
So this was hard work, and it's a heavy monitor, and you pull it out, and it's like over your head, and it's like, God, am I going to die? You know, am I going to get crushed under this thing? What's happening here? And
your last life.
So I pulled, so I have a Star Trek The Next Generation that I love. It's one of my favorite pinballs of all time. And it was the only pinball that I owned. And
that game.
Yeah, I know. Not everybody likes it. I think it's one of the greatest. I think if you check the IMDBP whatever list, you know, a lot of people would agree. And anyhow, I had to pull it back to give me a little bit more room to work on this game. And as it was pulled back and I got the monitor out and I set it in a safe place, I looked back and I thought, oh, well, that looks like there's room for another pinball next to that pinball.
Nice.
By working on another game, we're like, oh, there's more room.
So yeah. I indirectly was responsible for this.
That's true. This is Ian's fault right here. Yep. Yeah. And then and then Doug for having me go help him pick up a game and that monitor that was laying on the street. So whoever threw away that TV, thanks a lot. Yeah, so I looked. I'm like, yeah, I think there's enough room. I can still make this work. And it's, you know, if I buy another pin, it won't be a wide body. It'll be a regular body. So it's a little narrower. I thought, well, I like World Cup soccer. And it's a pretty, you know, I'm a huge soccer fan. So it's a great theme for me. And, you know, it's different than Star Trek The Next Generation, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, by far.
And, you know, it's a Papa Duke pin, and it's probably his most underrated, and probably my favorite pin of all time is Tales of the Arabian Nights. But
that's a great pin.
The price on those things is like through the roof. Yeah. Now. I should have bought one years ago, you know, when I knew I loved it, and it's just gotten astronomical. It has a small run, I realize now.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. It's such a popular machine for...
I know it's less than 10,000, so it might be like a 6,000 run or something. It's not like a lot of these, major
Adam's
pins.
Family.
Right, where it's 10,000 plus. It's you know, so it's going to be hard to get regardless.
So you decided at that point that you wanted a pin, not another game, right?
Not another game. Yeah, I have other
video
games sitting out
video
in the
arcade
shop.
Machine.
I could move another video game into the basement very
Stunt
easily.
Cycle.
There's a couple sitting out there. I decided I wanted another pinball and World Cup Soccer in particular.
See, that was your mission: World Cup Soccer pinball.
And there happened to be a really nice one for sale locally, and everything checked out. I went and I saw it, and it was good. And I wanted to see if I could fit a game in my car anyhow. So, you know, I just bought it.
Nice.
That's why you bought that new vehicle.
That's
I want
right.
to see if I can fit a game.
I want to see if I can fit a game in this car.
That's why you were all cagily asking, I can fit a game in there, right?
You did that when you did that, like when you came over to help me take pictures, you're like, I think I can fit a game in here.
Yeah.
You're like asking everyone you know to get confirmation, like support.
Like it fit, right?
Yeah. I was kind of stoked because it's a car, but it looks like it could fit a game. It's just like kind of like a car that's like 125% size or something.
So did you really say, I want this game, or have you been seeing that game online on Craigslist or whatever?
Never searched. I did not search it. There's no reason for me to search a game.
It never works out like that where you're like, I want a game.
And there it was.
Because it's like, I want that game, like, you know, like Bubbles or whatever, and that'll never show up. So it's like, that's sweet that it was just there.
There it was.
Pretty amazing
yeah.
it was available.
Yeah, I mean, I hoped it wasn't because I wasn't, whatever. Actually.
Merry Christmas.
When I think about the way pinballs are, if you buy the right ones, they haven't gone down in price ever. So, the good stuff in my collecting years, I mean, it's all held its price or doubled, basically. So I was just like, well, you could have a few more numbers in your bank account, or you could have something that is fun and, you know, it's still worth the money as well. So
that's why I sold Twilight Zone, because I wanted a few more numbers in my bank
account. See, sometimes you need a few more numbers and sometimes it's okay, you know.
Yeah, so. That's a good thing about pins, though, right? They show up on Craigslist. They don't usually immediately go like games do because just of due to the price point.
Due to the price, you got to think about it for a second.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought about it for
a second.
You don't
have to think about like a $200 game.
And I knew who was selling this and whatever. I knew people who knew him, so I like did my my backwoods, or not backwoods.
Yeah,
back,
due back, diligence.
Back, yeah, I did my due diligence, my back channel research, and sure enough, it sounded like this was worth worth
dude
taking a look
diligence.
At.
Dude diligence. Check up on the dude.
There you go. So it was worth, and it was somebody who I knew, but I didn't know, like I'd never met.
Yeah, you were aware of them.
Yeah, yeah. And then I, you know, and then we get to talk, and yeah, they were aware of me too, and whatever. And we had a grand old time. And,
you don't know me.
And yeah. You don't know me. And, anyhow, so gave him some money, and I drove away with pinball and moved it down the stairs with the help of a friend and fired it up, and everything worked.
Damn.
One thing, like there was one.
Did you take what
you just haven't found what's broken yet? There's always something. You
oh yeah,
about
actually, I
yeah.
finally
plastics,
found
plastics. There's okay. probably something under.
There's a couple chip plastics, yeah. And I'm actually there is a bulb holder that's not there that I need to get.
That's fine. No one cares.
Is it the twist in type?
No, it's solder in thing.
Oh
yeah, yeah. The Skill Shot has these. It's a coin toss, and there's three bulbs that you can visibly see, and it's, you know, they flash like, oh, you got to flip it in here.
Yeah.
And I, when I played it, I'm like, I swear there's supposed to be three there, and there were only two. And I looked, and it looked like there wasn't anything missing. But then when I really got in there, yeah. and I was fucking with things, I saw, oh, yes, there is supposed to be a bulb holder soldered right here. So
that's what kills me about pins is that
you
never know what's actually wrong with them until you've had it for a week.
Yeah, you can totally play a few games unless you know the game like the back.
Yeah,
because it still plays, and you're like, this is fun, and then you start once you own a pin, you start examining it like each play. You're like, oh yeah, there's a scratch there. That plastic's cracked.
Or you just start
tallying up all the stuff that, oh yeah, this is not like mint. But when you're so into the game, you don't really care.
Get into the rules, and like if there's a feature that's causing something not to work, this is supposed to do this when I do that, and it's not. So then
there's also so many settings that it'll turn off stuff that's not working right.
Yep. They were totally those later WPC stuff. It was made to like stay up and keep running.
Yeah. Is World Cup 94? So who made that? Was that Data East or
no? It's Williams. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a WPC.
I wouldn't own anything else. Are you kidding me?
It's the good shit.
Yeah. No, it's the good shit. It's it was Papa Duke's first pin. I think it came out in 91. Wait, no, it came out in 94. What am I thinking?
It's World Cuck Soccer.
Nice.
What's up with the dog on it?
Yeah, that's what. So that was like that was like the official like mascot at the time, I think, right?
It's the only pinball with a furry theme.
That's not true.
So if you're not a football or soccer fan, every World Cup has a mascot.
Exactly.
In 1994, it was here in the United States, and that was that Striker the Wonder Dog.
God, if they would have made it, what was 95? I'm curious what 95 was now. What's 95?
The fucking There's bug
only,
dog.
World Cups only occur every four, 4 years.
Okay, yeah, so 98,
similar to the Olympics. So yeah, they and as far as mascots go, they're generally kind of stupid and shitty. I mean,
yeah, sounds like it.
A dog is not bad.
I mean, he looks bad.
At least
bad.
It's not a
he
fucking looks gopher. Bad. This is my goddamn problem with every pinball with a gopher theme or with a golf theme is that there's some like sassy gopher on it. Like, fuck off.
I don't know. You want this fucker instead, this guy? Because this is what was 98.
There you go.
That's terrible.
Is that Montreal?
No, it says France.
France. So sorry.
It's a bird.
I knew it was some French speaking country.
Woodpecker.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like Montreal. Italy had a really shitty one. It was just like this thing made of sticks. It was really stupid.
That would have made for an excellent backlist.
Like the London 2012 Olympics logo.
What was that?
Oh, God. Fucking garbage.
So anyhow, mascots. Yeah, what's the deal with mascots? Why can't they hire, like, good graphic designers?
Wikipedia says, a dog, a common U.S. pet animal, wearing red and white and blue. Soccer uniform with the words USA 94.
There you go.
And France was Footix, a cockerel.
Oh, okay. Fucking rejects.
Yeah. Chow the stick figure.
Yeah, Chow.
So I guess you probably made out of all those 90s pins.
I think I did pretty good. Yeah. Yep. Wasn't Chow.
Yeah.
They can just retheme it as a Timbers pin.
Yeah. You should do that.
I am probably going to work up a different translite at least. Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. But the thing about,
is that the only
MLS
portion of the play field?
If you put players on it, generally you won't have the same players next year. So it's kind of dumb. You have to do something
general.
Yeah, but it's period specific. So that's just like saying, you know, don't put these guys in NBA Jam because 10 years later, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there, I was reading about, maybe I'm making this up, I don't know, or maybe it was a NES game. Someone like does a ROM hack every year that updates the players one of these sports games.
In like NBA Jam or something?
I think it's RBI Baseball or maybe Tecmo Bowl or
RBI
something.
RBI Baseball sounds right.
It's not, I'm pretty sure it's not NBA Jam because they
Someone was asking if you could do it in NBA Jam, I think.
Why? Those were great guys. That was what, 91 or something? I love those teams.
I think because... Yeah.
That was like one of the best Blazer teams of all time, Portland Trail Blazers, if you ever heard of them.
That's our team.
So what we had Clyde and Terry, I think Clyde Drexler, Terry Porter on NBA Jam, or was it Buckley? I don't remember.
What is the main rules in World Cup soccer? Like we don't talk about pinball, so I'm just
basically
curious.
Basically you want to get into the multi-ball modes because those are the matches where you're beating other teams, and depending, I could get really deep or really shallow in this. I'll just start talking.
I like when you're shallow.
All right. So depending on what your score is when you start a match, that will determine who your opponent will be. Mm-hmm. Higher ranked opponents will get you more points when you score goals on them. So one fun thing about this game is there is a goal and there is a keeper who goes back and forth in front of it all the time. And so once that is lit, in normal gameplay, you can score goals, and you do have to score a certain amount of goals to get past certain things. But once you start the games, which are the matches, which are the multi-ball modes, and then you have your opponent, and say you have like a really high-ranked opponent, like, Germany's ranked number one, and I had a match against them. Usually you get them in the World Cup, but anyhow, they can be like, it's one of those really high-scoring games, so maybe it's like a billion points per goal or something. Wow. And sometimes you can start these matches really early where you'll be, like, seeded against Morocco where it's, like, at 20 million a goal. But what you can
Morocco.
Do...
So you get, like, no points per match.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you get less balls if you're lower down. Like, maybe it's a three-ball multi-ball versus a four, and I could be mistaken there. So what I did find out is that sometimes you just score quickly and you've beat that team, and then what you do is then you shoot it up a ramp and it'll bring on the next team, and then you can score quickly and beat that team, so you can like move through the ranks really quickly. And then there's one there's another lane during the course, there's a certain lane that you shoot the ball up during the course of regular gameplay that will advance the stadium that you're going to play in. And basically, you're doing all this to lead up to the World Cup. You want to be in the cup in the final. And that is a five-ball multi-ball round. It's against Germany. And the neat thing about it is you're just trying to score as many goals as possible, and they score goals against you as well.
How?
The whole play field will go black, and that's how you know. All the lights will turn off, and that's how you know that like Germany just scored.
Is it a random decision to determine?
I think it's random. It's not.
So it's almost like a hurry up, like haul ass to score as many as you can.
It's 45 seconds.
That's
awesome. You can drain as many balls as you want, but it does not have an auto shooter. So to put the balls back in play, you have to plunge them.
Is that by design or
by design?
That's
kind of cool.
Yeah, because
you're used to like we were playing Judge Dredd last night, where you would start like a super game. Uh-huh. Yeah, the idea with this was they were super games. You would put 50 cents in instead of a normal game. You'd have a super game.
Super.
Which would
normal was 50 cents.
Okay, you put a dollar in. Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck, man, that's high roller shit.
But you would start out with a multi-ball.
Oh, wow.
So we were at a friend's house who has this Judge Dredd, and we would start a super game and never touch anything. And I think the best we got was like 28 million. It just played forever.
Damn.
And it would, you know, because it starts out in multi-ball, and then we would like, it would start up another multi-ball mode, and it just went on and on and on without ever touching a flip. It was hilarious. So this is like the opposite of that. You have to plunge the balls in because there is no auto plunger.
That's cool.
It's fun. And there's a big fucking spinning soccer ball that spins
that
each
do?
Direction. The ball hits it and gets crazy spin on it and makes it so you don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
So it's almost
next.
Like whirlwind where the things are going and
it just fucks it up.
Fireball has that too, the EM Fireball.
Yeah, yeah. Got the thing spinning. Yeah, this thing hauls ass and it's rubber and it's just like all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Have you opened the play field? Is it just a half
it's
of
a
ball?
It's a half a ball. Oh, yeah. It's a half a ball.
What a weird question.
I'm curious, can you replace it?
Yes, it had been replaced.
But can you replace it with a...
So you just like take a normal soccer ball and cut it in half?
Yeah.
No, it's smaller than that.
No. Yeah. Damn it.
And it's just all rubber and it's just like spray painted hexagons to make it look like a soccer ball.
Custom Timbers one.
Yeah, put your own ball in there.
Oh yeah,
put your ball in there.
I could paint your balls in there. It's just spray paint it. That's a good idea. Yeah,
no, it would be cool.
Do a green and gold.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Do it. I'm getting rid of that fucking dog. Might as well do the rest.
It's a repro anyhow. This ball. Maybe I could get one that's just white and then start from that. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah,
thank you. I'll do that. But it's fun. The guy did a lot of work on it. It's got a full LED kit, and he replaced the ball. He replaced the motor. He replaced a bunch of plastics. Got nice white rubbers, and star posts are all new and whatever. It's a good game.
Star posts.
Man, those star posts. New star posts look fucking great.
They do.
They get all clogged up with wax and shit.
Yeah. It's really nice. And I'm pissed because my Star Trek Next Generation has no LEDs, so it looks like it's fucking off next to it. So, yeah, I spent all of Friday looking at LEDs. So, yay.
What can you tell us from your research?
I don't want to talk about LEDs. Let's get on. Let's move on. I've talked too long.
No, I don't want to talk about LEDs.
I've been talking for like 20 minutes.
No, it's interesting.
We get emails all the time. They say, that Jordan guy talks too much. We want to hear more from
other
people.
We've only got one email. So speaking of email from James, any good stories of people playing a classic in your arcade for the first time? He recently had a party. His wife's aunt had never played Pac-Man.
What?
And his brother-in-law
is his aunt like 5 years old?
Maybe. Yeah. His brother-in-law had never played Pac or Galaga. I'm always shocked when this happens.
Yeah, no.
So what? Pac-Man or Galaga?
So Brian, it's your turn.
Not exactly rare games.
Amnesia's a bitch.
Yeah. any good stories?
I don't know if they're good stories, but there's
people. How about
just
a story?
There's people all the time that have never played Mappy for one. People have never heard of it. Or Food Fight, same thing. Yeah, it's. I guess most of my games are a little more obscure. I mean, not Robotron, but I mean they're.
Well,
you know,
Robotron isn't a
Pac-Man.
It's not a Pac.
Let me say this.
All the people
right,
that had
it's
the
not a crowd pleaser, right? You know, it's. You're thinking man's video game.
I don't know that any of the games that I have in my little space are ones that people would have played.
Yours are all really games for video game fans.
Yeah, more for collectors, I guess. Yeah. There's no typical games in there like a pack or anything like that. So yeah, lots of times people come over and they've...
So it's just the collection in general then?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that anybody's ever played Gyrus before or... Yeah, lots of times the people come over and they haven't heard of the games that are there. So yeah... a lot of times that's happened to me, but it doesn't surprise me that somebody hasn't played Food Fight for one.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, people. Shit,
I mean,
people.
I don't think I've played Food Fight on a dedicated machine.
The first time I played Food Fight was at your house, I've obviously heard of it.
Yeah, lots of people have come over and played it for the first time, which is cool. I like, you know, it's like, here's how you play, and you know, kind of show people the ropes and stuff like that. Yeah, it's cool. But
makes you feel validated.
But as far as people that haven't played the games before, my 3-year-old nephew was over during Christmas, and so he was playing all the games and not necessarily playing them as just smashing buttons.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm going to push this button. It's like, no, don't push that.
Yeah.
But as he ages, I'm sure he'll pick it up. But yeah, I'm excited to introduce all the games to him. I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Don't spoil him with like any of this stuff on the actual television, because then he'll be like, oh, these graphics suck. Yeah, stick with the games, the arcades.
Like PS4 stuff? Is that what you're talking about? Or just...
Yeah, just, you know. Because then they get like, oh, whoa, Minecraft and all this stuff.
Minecraft graphics fucking suck.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, anything that's more advanced
that's
than
impressive.
Like...
That's
not impressive. I would put any classic against Minecraft.
That's what Ian was talking about last time.
Like,
was
anything that like that's on a, you know, a newer tech device is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Fallout 4.
But I still think that even the classics have the charm to them. I think you know,
it depends. You know, there's definitely stuff that holds up better than others. Like, I don't think Missile Command's graphics hold up at all.
That's true.
Its graphics are fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Pac-Man even I think holds up really well.
Yeah,
and all the vectors, of course, hold up.
Oh, the vectors are great. Yeah.
So, Ian, any stories?
I don't have anything specifically.
It doesn't have to be special.
Yeah. No, I don't
any,
really
like,
have much
first
of anything.
Impressions? No.
I can tell you
like, oh,
the first time my youngest daughter played a video game. It was Tempest, and she was maybe 18 months old, and she tried to touch the screen. Tried to control it like it was a touch screen.
Oh, that's funny.
And I
It was
died.
Too late at that point.
Yeah, I was fucked.
Yeah. Now that
the most common reaction I get is people walk into the game room and they just
stop. Oh, my God, Ian.
Yeah. It's...
Oh, my God.
I have a lot of games in this room, and it's kind of overwhelming if you don't think of this as a normal thing to have in your house.
Yeah.
And then the other reaction that I've gotten a lot is, you know, I'll have all the games running, and someone will go up to, like, Tempest, for example, and say, oh, I remember this game. You know, they had forgotten the name, forgotten everything about it. But, you know, something was sparked and they said, I remember playing this game, or I remember seeing this game or wanting to play it. There's this kind of almost subconscious, the memory of like, this is the game. And
that's the coolest
it was
thing.
Just in the back of their mind. They hadn't thought about it in years, but then they see it right there and, you know, they go and play it. So I've had both of those reactions multiple times. And you know, I really like seeing people play and enjoy my games. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing to, like, witness, because they, like, they played those games, and, like, all of a sudden they're like, oh, shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fun to connect to the older generation that actually played the shit out of those games.
It made me just think of one thing when you were talking about the newer graphics, and my mom was always a big fan of Burger Time, and I was like, oh, well, I've got this meme in this game here. I can pull Burger Time up. Check it out, you know? And she was like... Yeah, I've got this newer version of Burger Time on my computer that I really like a lot better than that. That looks crappy. And I was like, what are you talking about? Come on. This is the original.
Like, see, even your mom's like...
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
No.
You just dissed your mom.
So I had one of my coworkers was at my house on New Year's Eve, and... when we went back to work, whenever that was, he told me, oh, yeah, there was this. He's younger than me. He's like maybe mid-30s, I think. Anyhow, didn't grow up in the classic era. And he there was a game that he liked a lot, and it was weird. He was like describing it to me what the game was. It's
this is the worst.
Well, why wouldn't you have just like looked at the name of it? You know, it's like right there, like lit up above it, you know. And he was describing Tempest, and I was like, oh, very cool. Yeah, that's a great game. That's one of my favorites.
It's one of the ones that really sticks in people's brains.
That's so weird, though.
Well, because it's so unique. It's such a...
Yeah.
But he was like, I like that game, that one where you kind of go around in a circle, and, and things are kind of like coming out at you, and it's all black in the background.
Yeah, the graphics are so striking for, you know, especially for that era.
Actually, the sounds, too. You don't think about it, but the sounds are pretty intoxicating in Tempest, I think.
Sounds like Pokey.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Shit sounds the
Who's
same.
Pokey?
Pokey. But so I thought it was just funny the way they described it, you know, and it just, Tempest is just a fact of life for me or whatever.
I don't really have any, like, crazy stories like Ian said, but I remember when my dad came to visit. He lives in Florida now, and is back when I had all my games in the basement, like, you know, 14, 15 games. And he's like, you know, whoa, you have all these games, and why didn't you tell me? And he didn't care about the games, like, playing them, but he just thought it was cool that I actually was into something and collecting something. And I was just kind of shy about it, you know. It's like, it's just games, you know. But it was cool. And then it was fun to just watch when my kids first got into the games and they had their favorites. And of course, again, Tempest. I remember my daughter liked Tempest a lot, and she liked Pole Position. And then when I had Road Blasters, my son liked that one. And then he also loved playing Crystal Castles.
Yeah.
And when I got rid of that, he was mad.
Yeah.
And he still talks about it. But, you know, it's just been, I don't really have many people over, but they think it's pretty cool. There's nothing, you know, nothing really, everyone has their hobby, you know, so this just happens to be ours.
Sometimes I'm surprised when people don't play them as much. I'm like, sometimes I'll have people over or somebody's going to come over and I'll turn them all on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, here they are. And they just look at them like,
a TV or a joystick?
And then they don't play. And I'm like, come on, play a game. They're right here.
Yeah. I like multiplayer games to really kind of spark that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there aren't too many. And when I say multiplayer, I should specify.
Simultaneous multiplayer.
Joust, Mario Brothers, Wizard of War. There just aren't that many classics that have simultaneous two player and
one person could be the other half of Crazy Climber.
That's, so this actually is a thing that I found super weird. But when I had my Black Knight 2000 in my office, there were a couple of people that would team play with each person controlling one flipper, and this blew my fucking mind because it's such a terrible way of playing pinball.
Jeez.
But they were into it, I guess.
What were they doing with their other hands? Grabbing each other's asses?
I can only imagine.
They're holding hands.
Hey, wait till next ball.
So that's real weird. But Brian was pointing at Tank 2. I think there were some, you know, in the black and white era when they couldn't really have AI, there were a lot of games that were only multiplayer.
Like Pong.
But Space Wars.
That one where it's a snake. That Sega made.
Yeah,
Blockade.
Space Wars. Space Wars, cool. I played that at Greg's storage. That's the first time I'd ever played it with someone, and it was really
fun. You just have to have friends, so super that's kind of hard.
But that kind of thing where you can be like, hey, let's go play this together. I think that gets people into it, kind of, you know, breaks the ice. So that's good.
Good idea. That was a tech thing too, right? You're right. Like most of the black and whites,
there was no AI.
Yeah, they relied
on
that.
An opponent.
And as games progressed, it was more about the single player experience.
Sideways cocktail, Wizard of War.
Yeah.
One more question from James was, what's your favorite Sega game? That's kind of a...
Zaxxon.
Yeah, Zaxxon. That's kind of a hard question to ask, I think. But I think most people's, you know, thoughts of Sega games are the 90s stuff.
Vectors.
Sega,
Vectors.
They've been around forever, and they've made a lot of games that are really good. It's just the hardware is such shit. Real rough. But you know, they made classics. You know, Astro Blaster is
a
really great underrated game.
I had a Blockade that worked. I mean, that's from the '70s. That was still going.
I've never
strong.
Played that one. That's amazing. I mean, maybe they made them better then.
I think it's just more simple. You know? Yeah. One board.
They didn't have the tech to make it shittier. So. Yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick one Sega game, it would have to be Outrun. I think Outrun is just a really terrific game. You know, it's for me, it's the perfect arcade driver. You know, multiple routes and really awesome graphics and great music and great controls. I think that's definitely, that's the Sega game for me. But they have so many games over so many eras.
Yes,
you know, it's hard to pick one, really.
I think unlike Nintendo, they really, you know, Nintendo basically survives for all the consoles with just major hits. Sega,
their console shit sucks.
Sega on the arcade side, like they had, you know, just stuff left and right throughout all the generations, like Daytona, you know, and Virtua Fighter and
Sega Rally.
I love Sega Rally.
Game. Yeah. Crazy Taxi, the Crazy Taxi series. Yep. That's one that I really, that's one I remember playing.
F355.
That
game's so good.
I've never played that game.
Best driving game.
Fuck out of that game on Dreamcast. But the cockpit with the three screens and the full clutch, six speed. Cool.
I know there's someone up in SMAC who has one.
Yeah. Oh man, dude, it's so good.
It is really fucking good.
Yeah, it's frustrating because
because it's realistic.
I know.
Yeah, it's a simulator. It's not a game.
That's the one thing that doesn't translate on arcade games well is like you hit the gas and you're like you're going 40, but it looks slow, and then you slam on the brakes and you slide into a wall. You're like, why? You realize if you did that in real life, you'd probably do the same thing. But you know, people get too caught up in the arcade, you know, unrealistic physics.
Hold it to the wood.
I have great.
That's why it probably didn't, you know, do that great. But
I have great respect for any arcade driver that has a clutch pedal.
Yeah,
like that's, race that's, driven. That's fucking legit.
Do you have respect for race driven?
No.
That was the simulator that started it all.
Yeah, it
sucks though. Yeah.
That's a hard, sorry. That's a hard one.
I'm glad it has a good monitor.
It's a hard one. That's right, because it's a simulator.
You know, that's hard driving.
I'm glad you changed the monitor out.
Not race.
Not
driving.
A game.
Race driving is the racist one.
It's not to be played with.
Yeah, and Sega. My favorite one is. It's definitely Flicky, and that's one that I've discovered recently. And I think one of the reasons is it's kind of like, it's it has it has similarities to Mappy, but you know, it's definitely its own game. But it's a super fun game.
Way different than Mappy. I mean, it's a platformer, you know, that keeps going to the one side to the other.
Saving your little birds.
Side scroller. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Cute Flicky is great.
Yeah, it's a really cool game.
It is a fun game.
And it's, the other one that I really like
got strategy
from back in the day is Star Trek. Even though
I also really like Star Trek,
especially the Captain's Chair edition because
Oh, yeah.
There's one you can buy.
I know, but I'm not going to buy it.
Why not?
$1,700 in space.
You should buy
it.
No, it wasn't $1,700.
Oh, in Clav it was.
But yeah, that's a sweet game. That's another one like kind of like Star Wars. I was a big fan of both of those series. So
I like Star Trek way better than Star Wars.
But playing that, playing the Captain's Chair one is so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. It won't fit in my basement or else I'd buy it.
Would you really buy it?
Yeah, I'd love to have a captain's chair.
Yeah.
Star Trek.
You want to be the captain?
It's... Actually, I'd love to have it. I'd probably, well, I don't know. It's a toss-up between that and Omega Race as far as like one of my favorite cockpits
ever.
Oh,
dude, Omega Race would fucking
blow
that shit
away. The Omega Race cockpit is
it's the same,
great.
Same kind of controls. You know, I love Nintendo. That.
I was thinking about this earlier. You know, you've got all the Atari Vector games. No, you don't have Lunar Lander.
I don't have
Lunar
Lander.
But that's the only game you don't have. That's the only Atari Vector you don't
have.
But you don't have any Sega Vectors.
None.
And I know you've mentioned before that you had some Sega stuff, but you got rid of it because it was too unreliable.
Pussy.
I don't know. Would you have Sega Vectors in your collection? It sounds like Star Trek.
No, I made a decision not to go down that road at one point. I just said
that
no.
That was at one point. Though. I'm what just kidding.
No.
Because of reliability?
Just I think you need more than one of them. And so just getting, like, your favorite isn't good enough. You have to have a few, you know, when things go wrong, you want to be able to troubleshoot. And just space limitations, you know, I'd have to start getting rid of other games.
Yeah, well,
Star
the bad ones.
Star Wars. Star Wars, Missile Command.
You've got some rasters left.
So
get that shit.
So my favorite Sega game, though, would be a Vector, and it would be Zector. That would be the one that I want. The last California Extreme I was at, 2015, I played a lot of Zector, and it was great.
Is that the one with the brain dude?
Yes.
So both Space Fury and Zector have...
Do you have a brain dude?
Yeah.
Actually, no, Zector has a chick, sorry.
Oh, They have a cast of characters.
That's right, yeah.
But brain dude and chick.
There's, I don't know how many there are. There's
like deep character development.
Is Space Duel a brain dude?
Space Fury is who is what Brandon is.
He has
of.
The brain, sticking out, and that was the one.
Sticking out.
Well, you can see it. I mean, his brain's supposed to be under his skull.
He's the brain dude. Yeah, he's the brain dude.
Yeah,
I'm glad that I coined the new term, brain dude.
Brain dude.
Yeah,
which I like that game too. It's really fun. Yeah. That was the one Sega I had, but it was a rotten cabinet, and nothing worked. The monitor didn't work. The boards didn't work.
Yeah. Yep. That's typical Sega.
Typical Sega. So the tube became a 6100 tube.
Oh,
there you go.
Good call.
I don't know. I have a lot of memories with the 90s Sega stuff. I played a lot of Virtua Fighter 2 in the bowling alley in Gresham, a lot of Daytona, a lot of the Sega Model 2 stuff. So I know they're like not...
What's Model 2? That's like a hardware
thing? It's like one of their hardware.
Is that the one that's... Virtua Fighter 2 is on that?
Yeah, they had Model 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so that's the one that was like right before the Naomi?
Yeah. Model 1 was like Virtua Fighter 1. Model 2 was like... They basically debuted a new, you know, sequel of a game for each technology.
Does Naomi stand for something, or is that just like the designer's girlfriend or something?
It's new something.
Oh, it does. Yeah,
it definitely does.
Yeah. But Model 1, 2, and 3 was when Sega worked with Lockheed Martin, basically developing like super advanced shit.
Is that like Afterburner?
Before that.
That moves around?
Or after that, sorry.
Oh, well, I like that. That was pretty advanced.
Afterburner, that's the...
That moved and stuff? That was fun.
Yeah, no, that's just the normal superscalar hardware that all the... Hang On, Outrun, Thunderblade, Astro,
Space Harrier,
whatever.
What they call the one that you Super sat System in? 32, that was they just called it like cockpit, or there's that Afterburner that you sit in and it moves around.
It's just called the Afterburner cockpit.
No, it's fucking cool.
But yeah,
they did make some crazy awesome cabinets.
Didn't they make Sega made something where it it had to have an operator to run it for you, right?
That was like the 360 thing.
Something 360, yeah.
R360, I think.
R360, yeah. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Some kind of flying game.
Yeah.
And it had an operator so you didn't hurt yourself. I don't know.
Boring.
Yeah. Sega.
It's like an amusement park ride.
Sega made, like, you know, they were like the raw thrills of basically today. Like, when I was growing up, like, they were like the only ones that were really
pushing the boundaries.
It seemed like they were the only ones that were around, like that and like the tail end of Midway, you know, doing like Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam. But like, so I just played the shit out of all of those.
It's kind of funny, you go to the Dave and Buster's and there's still a row at the one here, at least there's still a row of Daytona USA's.
Yeah, dude.
There, I was like, is this a remake of Daytona USA?
That, I think just that and the NBA regular Jam one. Were like the 90s version of
those
Pac-Man,
are old,
basically.
Right? Those are 90s. Daytona USA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Daytona USA was the first 50 Cent game. I think.
Dragon's Lair.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Dragon's Lair for sure.
Or was it a dollar or something like that? I don't know. There's some article about it that basically that broke most of all the records.
That's why I remember Dragon's Lair being 50 Cent when it came out. That was it.
Yeah, so it may have been a dollar or something like that. But yeah, just for the sake of, you know, just saying like the games that just stand out without kind of like searching at classic stuff. I played a lot of those and they just the soundtracks, the corny music, with the Japanese dude trying to like hit high notes and sound like an 80s rock band.
Daytona. One cool thing about those games was because the Dreamcast was out, and so most of them were ported right over, and they were like almost exactly the same, which was so cool. You get a perfect version of Crazy Taxi or Daytona USA or Sega Rally on your
Dreamcast.
That was
a little after those titles, but yeah. Like Daytona and Virtua Fighter and stuff, that was like pre-Naomi stuff. But yeah, when Crazy Taxi came out and stuff, they were like, they're close to perfect, yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. I remember seeing a Crazy Taxi when I was at, like, going to see a movie or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just saying, what's this?
I got
the
a couple
stuff
of minutes
that I'm
to burn.
About.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is a cool game. It's fun.
Yeah, I got to get the NetDim set up on my OutRun, too, because if you get the NetDim, you can get it...
Battle, whatever, the other game.
You can get it running OutRun 2 SP and Crazy Taxi.
Oh, nice.
I think there's one or two other drivers.
Like some... Wangan, something, Wangan, whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck it's
Wank On.
Wank On.
Wank On Fighter.
Like the battle on the fucking highway shit.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's such a fucking huge cabinet that having it play more than one game makes me feel better about it taking up all this space.
That takes more. I mean, that looks like you could have a pinball machine there.
Oh, yeah. I could.
Yeah.
Like, it
used to have
as much
pinball
space
machine
as
there.
Like a real custom one. You should just make that a pin MAME.
Yeah, definitely. Let's pin MAME cockpit.
Let's play the game of if we were to put a game in Ian's game room, what would we put in there?
Shit.
Quantum.
Ooh. Where would you put it, though?
Let's play the game of where would you rearrange games
Quantum. So here's what I've
nowhere
actually,
to put anything.
What if you put, Doctor Who, like, the back box next to the back wall?
This doesn't translate to radio very well.
I've done it that way. It
turn left and here's, turn this game 45 degrees.
Where I still have some space left in this room is... And I might actually do this, is fucking take the door off and install a bead curtain. Because there's no, there's an empty space of wall behind the door for it to open.
That's a good point.
And I was like, man, if I just took that fucking door off,
that
I could
like
throw
a
another
game
there.
Right there, yeah.
You need a pocket door.
That's why whenever people get crazy about like these huge posters and stuff, they're like, oh, dude, I want that poster. I'm like, why? If you have a room for a fucking 6-foot poster, you have room for a game. Why would you do that?
You move over out a little bit.
I can cram couple other things.
Robotron Mini.
And
Robotron
these
Mini.
Games are going. Well, this game's going.
Yeah.
So then you have
he's pointing at my Omega Race cocktail, which is taking up the space of two minis. So I have an Omega Race Cabaret that I need to finish repairing, and then I will be
Galaga.
Swapping that out.
Galaga
is missing, so I will probably be putting OutRun Mini and Galaga in the place of the OutRun, God, what the fuck am I talking about? Jesus
what are you
Christ.
Talking about?
I don't know what I'm talking about. The Omega Race Mini and Galaga Mini will be taking the place of the Omega Race cocktail.
Then what?
Boom.
Then I don't know.
Then it's
I
fine.
Just want to know.
It's okay.
What's next?
Then removing the door. Yeah, if I moved the cocktail, the up and down cocktail somewhere, I could cram something else in.
So this inevitably happens to everybody in the hobby is that
this
you
space.
Run out of space.
Yeah.
As long as you're like...
It seems like so much room when I moved into this.
Collecting, yeah. As long as it happens. I mean, basically you're collecting like appliances, and your house only has room for so many appliances. 250-pound
baseball cards. Yeah.
You're missing the card.
Speaking of which, I suppose you get into collecting something for years and years. You know, what do you think might happen,
Burn
Brian?
Burn out? Could it happen?
Would it happen?
Has it happened? These are the questions.
Do you get burned out, Jordan?
No, I don't get burned out.
Bullshit!
I love games.
You just don't do anything?
I just don't, like, work on them 24 hours a day, but...
Or play them, or go in your basement. Or...
I just played World Cup Soccer today.
He's at a good stage where
you're on the upswing.
He has a full game room.
Usually, and everything
usually
works.
Usually nothing's broken. And
but you're
so...
not looking for more stuff right now.
No.
And most of your stuff works.
Yeah.
That's... So.
There's a couple out in the shop.
You're at the climax of the hobby right now, where like you don't have to like go searching for games and like, oh yeah, because everyone wants that game, so I have to find that game. You just can just go downstairs and go, fuck you, I have all those games. I'm gonna play them.
So lots
I just
times
have to dust
will,
them off every once in a while.
People will talk about burnout where they'll start to say, well, I don't really like playing them anymore. I just like getting them and working on them. So that hasn't happened to me yet, because I like to be where Jordan's at, where you have most of the games you want, and they're all working for the most part. What about you guys? I know, Ian's got a garage full of games.
Yeah, but do you question yourself though, since you have limited space?
What do you
like,
mean?
Are you constantly looking for? But his is really limited.
Extremely limited.
So do you wonder, saying, like, did I make the right choice?
Because you must be constantly evaluating those six games.
I was until now, and now they're pretty much all keepers at the moment.
Yeah.
Where it was like...
Yeah, the problem is when you find keeper number 7.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When a burger time comes up, I'll be in big trouble.
Yeah. I would still say Gyrus would be the last one.
It would probably...
Gyrus is so good.
Know, which is weird, because
I'm
that's what got me...
That would be the one that would move.
Back into... Well, not back into it, but into collecting. It was like, I'm going to find a Gyrus because that's one of my favorite games. And now it's kind of like...
Yeah, but you had Joust for the longest time and you got rid of that.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It's possible, but at the moment, it's staying... The good thing about Gyrus, too, is it's got Gyrus and Time Pilot in it, so
there
it's kind of like...
Yeah, that's nice.
It's two for one.
That definitely... I love the multi-games that give you a little more bang for your space. So,
yeah,
you know,
same
thing. I've got the, you know, the multi-peed setup and the D2K kit and, you know, a couple other things that have multiple games in them. So, I really like that.
Are you burnt out?
I'm not burnt out, but I'm definitely, like, overwhelmed with shit I gotta fix.
That's a personal problem.
Yeah. Well, it's just that I keep buying shit.
Exactly. You're a hoarder.
Oh, no, I love hoarding. It's great.
Fucking A.
It's great. No, I mean, I love my games, and even the ones I don't like, I'm not selling. No, I definitely go through, you know, like cycles of like, I don't play too much, or I work on them more, or I work on them more, and I don't play them as much. And I really have come to like the repair aspect of it a lot. It's just been too fucking cold to work on anything, which is annoying as hell.
Is there a day where you don't play a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yep. Brian?
Yeah.
You don't turn them on?
Nope.
No. Yeah. I leave them all on 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
It's authentic. You gotta have the authentic experience.
How much is your electric bill?
Yeah. Does it cost a lot to run those television sets?
It must cost a lot to leave these on. No, I don't. Yeah.
Pales in comparisons to your earnings.
I would say I would say I play a game at least once a week, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I played some games today. I played something. I forgot. Besides World Cup Soccer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, here's the stupid thing. Never mind. This is dumb.
No, go for it.
Okay.
Come on.
If you have a stupid thing, I want to hear it.
So I had my New Year's Eve party, and, you know, I have, like, one game that's... like a MAME style thing where it has a lot of games, and I try to get it configured so it's like foolproof, because I hate fucking with my games when I'm at a party, because I'd rather be doing other things. And sure enough, there's some game on there that like didn't work right. It was like some stupid fighter, Capcom something or other. Where
you Capcom fighter?
There's Capcom fighters in that MAME machine.
I wouldn't imagine you ever playing a Capcom.
No, I don't play that shit, but other people...
Everybody else does.
It's
a big hit at parties.
So I tried
You just killed the 90s inside me.
Yeah, I tried to test them out, you know, and these games boot And evidently, once they boot, you can't coin them up, and then you can't exit them. You can't get back to the menu. What? So somebody was like, hey, man, fucking Marvel versus fucking Dragon.
Marvel versus fucking.
You know, whatever it was. Marvel versus
That's a horrible
Mortal
game.
Kombat doesn't work. You know, that, look, that doesn't stuck. Exist.
That never happened.
And
it should.
And it should. You know, there's like I started looking at today. There's quarters floating around in the bottom. It's like because it just said insert two coins and you couldn't coin it up. And there's nothing. You can't get back to the menu. So I just turned it off and told him play a real game, fucker. Yeah.
So the home arcade pro tip is when you have people over. Just make sure your coin mechs are working, that you have
no,
space
it wasn't
for the coins
the,
to drop through.
No, it wasn't the coin mechs. It just whatever this emulator was, they didn't work. And so I've just removed those games now. So now problem solved.
Yeah.
So next party, hopefully, you know, somebody else will find some, you know, one game out of 300 that doesn't work right, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I looked at all the Crapcom games and there were some fun, like wrestling ones. I played some wrestling.
Saturday Night Slam Masters?
I don't know. Could be. Yep, yeah, that kind of sounds like a porno, though.
Yeah.
Only wrestling game you need is Matt Mania.
Saturday Night Slam Pigs.
Yeah, Matt. It wasn't Matt Mania, I'll tell you that. Or
that's the only Capcom one I could think of.
Exciting Hour would be the other version, the other way to say Matt Mania. Yep. If you ever see Exciting Hour, that's Matt Mania. Play it. It's a great game. Vertical, though. Kind of weird.
I like Crapcom, though. You can't deny that Street Fighter 2...
They made some good games. Black Tiger is pretty fucking great. Yeah. Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah.
Those all sound like pornos, too.
Yeah.
Ghosts. The Black Tiger.
Yeah, we should come up with the porn parody video game titles.
Tank 2.
So
last episode, we mentioned that we were going to kick off a new segment, which involved basically picking a game in the game room. So wherever we decide to have the podcast episode, we will draw basically all the games in the game room out of a hat or a shitty lunch bag.
Really big reason. Hat. We just put all those in there. Yeah. Huge hat. Room-sized hat.
Ass hats.
Or a piece of paper that says the game name on it.
Exactly. That would be way easier.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Okay.
And I filmed it in portrait mode. And so we're in Ian's game room, and I Friday at work, I printed up all the games, cut them out, put them in my greasy lunch bag, and I pulled out
what kind
a Donkey
of grease?
Kong.
Was it burrito grease?
No, it was turkey.
Turkey grease.
Turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
And so we played Donkey Kong. DK. So when we got here tonight, we played Donkey Kong, and Ian has the scores.
I do. So I guess I should go in reverse order so there is some
suspense.
Some suspense. So coming in at number 4 is Jordan, who got 1,600 points.
I'll get that 1-1 eventually.
And that was because he
died.
Was drunk.
Coming in at number 3 is Brandon with 21,300.
I wasn't drunk, but kind of.
Coming in at number 2 is myself with 34,400.
Decent.
And taking this tournament is Bren at 54,700.
I told you it's a fluke.
I knew you. Even though I think Ian has the highest score ultimately out of all of us, which is close to, I think you're over 100,
I can do 120, 130, something like that.
And his
like
score
that
he played earlier today was way higher than my score.
Yeah, I fucked myself on a number of fronts on this. Not least is that...
I want to hear about it again, though.
I installed the... D2K kit on this game. So let's
You basically tried to break the game that we had
I
to
did.
Play.
So after we decided we were going to play Donkey Kong, I was like, man, I should really do some work on a thing, and I need to do something on that because I've been meaning to install this D2K multi-game kit, high score save, what have you. But my board set is the earlier 4 stack. I mean, even of the 4 stacks, it's an earlier one, and the CPU is soldered directly onto it. And even if I socketed the CPU, the soundboard is mounted directly above it, so the kit wouldn't clear. So, of course, I pulled the board and desoldered the CPU and put a socket in and relocated the soundboard and replaced some cables and, you know, did all the things that you shouldn't do when you already have a working game and you're going to play it in a couple hours. But it worked fine.
Yeah.
But I kind of screwed myself because the ROMs that have been on it have the ladder cheat, which is what I'm used to playing. and the multi-game kit does not have the ladder cheat. And also, I drank beer. So, yeah, the first game I played after I put the kit in was, 96,000 points, which is, it's all right. And then I just fucking did terribly.
Was I the only sober one that played? Was everybody else under the influence?
There's no excuse here, man. Like,
there's no excuse for Jordan's score.
You own that game.
I've owned that game for years.
I gave you like 1 hour, 24 hour notice or something.
Yeah, but you just play one game. Anything can happen. Yeah. And then I really fucked around.
See, I really, like we were talking last time about world records and how we feel about our scores in comparison and all that. But just us playing is more enjoyable to me. Just the randomness that we're not practiced and coached on these games. We just
I was over with a world record gamer last night and being coached on Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
So you see how well that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying the randomness of it to where, I could have been that 1600 person, but it was you, so I'm glad. But, it's just, I'm terrible at that game. There's been times where I fire it up and I don't even get past the first level because I'm just, I just want to play it and enjoy it. I don't want to reset it every time I screw up in the first level.
Oh, no, you can, my theory as far as if you have a bad man where you're, or a bad ball or whatever, where you're not going to get your high score, you can still just use that man to practice. Yeah.
This was actually, there was a paper on this. Oh, God, I'm such a fucking dork. But there was a paper on this back in the 80s where they named this last ship syndrome, where the psychology of it being your last life on a game makes you perform better on that last life or last ball than on your beginning. So a lot of the time, you might totally, whiff on the first life, but, you pull it out on the last. So I try to play through even if I, it really frustrates me when I fuck up on the first man or the first board. I try to play through. And I should also mention, because this is a Donkey Kong tournament.
Yes.
This is, we did this in real style. So these photos are going to be up on the Coin Rejects site. But, we got some PC printer paper and put our names in all caps Times New Roman. And
that's the only way to do it.
Yep. had them up by the machine and, have them framed. So, just gotta, this was the machine that, we played on. Gotta memorialize that.
That's right. Gotta have that 8.5 by 11.
That's, there's no other piece of 8.5 by 11 laser printed Times New Roman exactly like that, unless I make another copy.
That game is pretty valuable now, Ian, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely.
It's been in the tournament.
Yeah, it's been in the Schlong Off.
Yep, Schlong Off 2015.
Yep. 2016!
Oh, yeah, 2016.
Oh! We're still right in 2016. tournaments. But that was really fun. I mean, it's fun to have a reason to play a game and actually try to
the idea is
get a good score on it.
Yeah, the idea is that we will, every episode we'll play a new game, obviously, and we'll have on the website, we'll have just our scores, our standings, and
our standings. There's gonna be a ranking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Are we gonna play? Are we gonna randomly replay the same game?
No,
we I'm could. So it's random.
You have to take it out of the mix.
It won't be in there.
Disqualified. One time.
So at the end, I'll have a special surprise for whoever wins. Oh, wow. Will get something that you will. And maybe the runner-up might get a man cave sign.
That should be the grand prize.
Yeah. But you won't guess what the main prize will be. If you guys want to play Donkey Kong and submit your scores,
tell us how much better you are than us. We won't care.
Tweet your scores at Coin Rejects.
Yeah, it'd be more authentic if you're not good at the game and you just decide to play it also. Speaking of game rooms, working on games, I have to go to Jordan and ask, have you worked on... any games? Stunt Cycle.
No, I haven't worked on Stunt Cycle.
Nothing.
Not at all. I kind of straightened up the shop a little bit because I knew people would be smoking pot out there on New Year's.
Wouldn't want them to trip over anything.
So, yeah, that's about it. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the oscilloscope sitting next to it looks like I've been working on it. Looks cool.
Nice.
Somebody made a comment, you know.
You're smart, man.
Well, dude, you must be smart.
You got an oscilloscope? You're smart. Oh, you got an Exedi game out there?
And then I saw my wife was watching Lost, that show Lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were, I was doing something else, eating a burrito or something. And I looked over and there was some kind of drama going on about drilling the hole and maybe it could like blow up the planet or something. And they just had like this big drilling rigging machine mm-hmm. with an oscilloscope sitting on the top just to make it look like mm-hmm. it's official.
Yeah.
Nice. Brian, nothing.
Nothing.
You didn't work on Paperboy?
Nope.
You're a disservice to Paperboy.
Your Paperboy doesn't work?
It's still cold.
Monitor problem?
It works. It works. It just needs body work.
Oh.
And so I'm waiting.
The Paperboy needs body work.
Yeah. The Paperboy needs some body work.
He needs massage.
Do you get those NOS handles on there?
No.
I have one of those chassis, 4615.
Yeah?
Rare.
I don't need it.
Okay. You will.
You will. Yeah, I did the work on the DK earlier today. I recapped K4900, and I stripped down a space dual control panel. So the space dual that I picked up in the swarm of locusts, the Tetris dual, converted to Tetris. Yeah. So I've done a few things on that. I went and I stripped down the top marquee retainer bracket, repainted it, put the marquee in there, got a nicer marquee to put in there, and then had a Raster 4900 monitor in there. So Raster. I'm going to use that for something else. I already have a 6100 ready to go to put in there. So I pulled the 4900 and recapped that. But it's been too fucking...
I need that for
Rotron 4900.
No, I need better. Yeah. I got an empty cap that needs to go in. So, I haven't done too much.
Oh, I helped level a pinball last night. What are you talking about? I've been working on all sorts of stuff.
There you go.
I leveled a Medieval Madness that played nice.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's a good game.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's
one of the best.
I worked on Laserdisc stuff.
Yeah,
last night.
Laser discs. Can we talk about laser discs?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about laser games.
No.
I had like three games to work on.
Oh, okay, guys. Well, thanks a lot for doing it.
This is why we don't talk about laser
Episode
games.
Episode 8.
You can't relate. No one has one. I'm just like the last one.
Let's play some games.
Yeah. Let's kick your ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see on the flip side.
Oh, man. Just spend time drinking that flask. So I don't get much time to work on games, and I had to choose from Robotron, Pole Position, or Dragon's Lair last night, and I decided to pick Dragon's Lair. I don't know why.
Is Dragon's Lair the closest one to being working, or
three? I think it is.
Yes. I turned it on because I just wanted to see
That's
where it
the
was
first
at.
Part. Man.
Yeah, you know.
They work,
hooked it up to the
very poorly when they're turned off.
Yeah. Hooked it up to the PVM, and, you know, I got the three beeps, the Dragon's Lair, boop. It just kept showing the castle scene, like the very first scene.
Well, I hate that scene.
And it just turned off, like the monitor castle. Just turned off. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I just let it sit there because it was, like, freezing in the garage. And a lot of the older Laserdisc players are just, you know, shot to begin with. There's a couple caps that are known offenders. So I just let it sit, and eventually, like, as it heated up, it played more and more and more of the game. And I'm like, cool. So I was just cleaning up the beer bottles of the previous episode while I was waiting for it. And I drank that New York seltzer that you didn't finish.
All right.
That's disgusting.
Well,
it's probably nice and cold.
I mean, that one was sealed.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the bottle he peed in?
No, I didn't. I didn't drink.
No.
I didn't have any beer.
You're missing out.
Did you keep them straight? Are you sure?
Yeah. Anyways, so like it basically like as the game like as the Laserdisc player like warmed up, it played more and more of the game. I'm like, sweet, all that novacine of the disc basically worked off.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay. And then when I went to coin up, nothing. And it basically acted like if you hit start, it did nothing. So I'm like, fuck. And I just researched, you know, like the past few weeks. The only two things that could be were disconnected control panel stuff. I looked at the control panel and like all the ground wires that are looped are bare metal wire. Like there's no...
That seems bad.
Yeah. It's just
I've seen that before for the grounds. It's just like a solid core wire.
Yeah, with no shielding. It was just bare wire.
Nice to work with.
And I just made sure it wasn't
no stripping involved.
I made sure it wasn't hitting like the metal control panel or anything like that. And it didn't really
supposed to, right? Because it's the ground. You want to ground all the metal pieces.
Yeah, but I just made sure they weren't conflicting with anything else. And it seemed fine. So I was like, okay, that's not it. The only other thing it could be was the disc. Again, I looked at the disc. I Novus'd it again with Novus 2 and Novus 1. And it actually made it worse.
You're going to Novus it until it's no more.
Yeah. you can't really hurt it. I mean, it's just a plastic coating.
Next thing you know, it'll just be your hand on the other side.
Yeah. It's aluminum on the other side.
You got to get one of those, the audiophile things that they sell to put on top of CDs. Yeah, you got to get that for the laser disc.
I should, actually. That might help out. So the only other thing it could be is there's two caps on the board that tend to...
On the game PCB?
Laser disc player. So basically, you would think that, you play a movie... In a LaserDisc player, and it's fine because it does play movies fine. But in Dragon's Lair, it's different because it has to constantly.
It's seeking around, right?
Yeah, it has to seek.
And so, if these two caps are suspect, it doesn't really have the capability to basically, do that. And so, what happens is when it's flipping through all these scenes, it basically just doesn't know what to do, and it just basically repeats itself over and over and over again. And I just got too tired last night. It was like 37 degrees at 1:30 a.m. and I was like, fuck this shit. But I got the LaserDisc player out. I opened it up. I took off a little HV cage portion of it and the two caps are right there. So I just need to throw on my ESR meter and just check them out. But if they're not bad, I mean, it could just be that the disc is just toast.
So when it was playing through, was it playing like in attract mode or was it actually playing a game? Like before you tried to coin it up?
Yeah, it was weird. It would play like the Dragon's Lair, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then it would like 10 seconds into that, it would speed up. So it would like go to fast forward mode and go blah, 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 blah. And then it would slow down. And then it would start the game like automatically. And then like sometimes you'd be able to move it, and you'd hear like the beeps Bonks. And boops, mm-hmm. like you're doing something wrong. And then like for 1 second, I was able to play the scene where he's on like the floating horse thing. I was like, sweet. I was like, fucking behind the game, reaching through the non-existent monitor and like grabbing the joystick and looking at the PVM on the side. I'm like, cool.
It's a good way to play.
And I was having fun for like 2 seconds and then it like restarted. And I'm thinking that it is the LaserDisc player and it just needs to be I need to either change those two caps. I'll check the ESR on them. Or I'll just hold out for like until I can just get the more modern LaserDisc for it. But
what's a new thing that just got re-released this week?
Dexter,
what's that?
Yeah, there's a guy, Matt Ownby. He made I think it's an FPGA thing. It's basically like a hardware.
No more disc?
No more laser disc player.
Nice. Good job.
You put it on SD card, is that right?
Yeah. So it's almost like the CPS2 thing, I think, obviously. You can only apparently load one image, though, at a time, which sucks. Hmm.
Like an image being a game?
Yeah. So basically like the whole LaserDisc file, right? So Dragon's Lair, you'd have to like purchase that from him. Which for Dragon's Lair stuff, you have to go through still the Digital Leisure guy, which they still own the rights of it.
Yeah.
One of the few game IPs that they're still controlling, actually. We were talking about it last time.
Coming out with a movie.
Don't they sell like
the Blu-rays.
Games that you play on your DVD player or whatever? Yeah.
Like about every system has a version of Dragon's Lair you can play.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
Apple Watch.
So it's like probably. $350 or something like that. And it's just a lot of money. And it's too much for me for that. I'd rather honestly get the Merlin card, which is the other option from Sean Wood.
I think that's what I had.
Yeah.
Right? Where you can use a different,
More modern laser display.
It hooks next. It replaces the ROM board on the PCB. And it basically says, hey, ROM board, you can use the more modern version of the Pioneer LaserDisc player, which is way more reliable, less frame skip. So you don't have like those black seek times between like up down movements. It actually builds in memory. It's almost like it makes it a fluid game. It's actually closer to the vision of the original idea of it.
It's kind of lame playing like a movie. The Blu-ray version has extremely bad lag between between those scenes, which seems Blu-rays, weird.
A lot of Blu-rays have like slow seek times, actually.
Yeah, because that's just they're not designed to be seeking all over the place just to play from start to finish.
Yeah, a lot of the first gen Blu-ray stuff is like super slow seek times, like way slower than DVD stuff. Anyways, like I honestly rather just get the Merlin card and use like the LDV 8000.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I think that's what I did. Yeah. Yeah.
And that has like basically between movements, it's like it's almost instant and that's cool. Like, and you're still using Laserdisc, you still get and it's way cheaper. but eventually I guess they're thinking about combining the best of both worlds and having the Dexter be like more of a multi-type thing, so you can switch between.
God, that would be cool, just to play all those, like the Daphne emulator, but better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a really good option to look forward if you're struggling with Laserdisc stuff. But I really, actually, like we were saying, I enjoy the repair aspect of the hobby. So like tearing apart shitty Laserdisc players is actually fun. If I get it working. If I don't, then that's fine.
You have options.
Yeah, I mean,
how many Laserdisc games were there? 20?
There's 25.
I doubt it. Not even close to 25. I don't think.
Maybe a dozen. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, actually, no. With all the American laser games,
I'm guessing 20.
Yeah, you might be close. Around.
It seems like there's always one that I've never seen before, like that Gallagher one.
Yeah, Galaxian
3
or whatever. Yeah, is it 3?
Yeah, Galaxian 3 Theater 6.
Double laser discs.
Yeah, California Extreme is where I'll play laser games, and I try to give them all a shot, and there's just none that really. Like, God, I gotta have that.
What is it, like Cube Quest? That's the only one that's...
Cube Quest is cool.
Cube Quest is cool.
Pube Quest?
Pube
Quest.
GamePube.
It looks like it's like kind of vectory graphic. Yeah.
No, it's cool, though.
Yeah, it's
like,
cool.
The cabinet's ugly as fuck, and the design of it's shitty, but the idea is awesome. But yeah, laser games, like, it's not just about the whole QuickTime event stuff. Like, I really appreciate the whole art style and the animation because I just, I appreciate the people that do that.
Yeah, I like the one that was a Japanese cartoon.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which was the that one's good. Lupin the Third stuff.
Yeah. That one's good.
Or Lupin or whatever.
That one's good. And then Astron Belt's kind of interesting, but cheesy.
Was Astron Belt the first?
That's like a midway one where you're like playing a game over a laser background.
I thought Astron Belt was the Sega one.
I don't know.
Or is it Interstellar? Either Astron Belt or Interstellar, that was one of the first that I think Dragon's Lair was competing on.
Really?
Being like one of the first to market or something, and I think Sega beat them in Japan or something, but...
The laser background with computer graphics over top is the only like the laser game kind of thing I like.
Lasers. It's Astron Belt's pretty all right. I mean, it's just like a shooter over with Mach some 3. Cool background. Oh, yeah, Mach 3, too. Yeah. That was, and Firefox. Those were Firefox popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mach 3 actually did.
There's 20 laser games, no problem. I think about it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they're fun, I like them. It's not just QuickTime events and animation in movies. There is shooter ones, but those are kind of... half-assed.
Are those not right?
Like, because it's just like, just the same hardware as like Mad Planets and Qbert, and then they just like threw down a bunch of ROMs and then just added, full, video background.
Like a black light reflected background, but it happens to be a movie, like if Asteroids Deluxe, instead of just having cardboard.
Dope as shit.
Had some fucking, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Do it. Fucking do it. Go fucking.
We'll hack Asteroid. Astron Belt.
Astron Belt Deluxe.
Loop the 20 minutes of fucking tunnel effect from 2001.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. With some Pink Floyd soundtrack.
Oh, fuck yes.
I've always wanted to do that, though. Like, you can modify... I almost don't like talking about it because it's my idea, but, like Asteroids Deluxe you're talking about, you can make more 3D shapes and add it to the background and do some like black light or UV reactive, graphics and stuff and just make it more interactive.
A penis.
You could do a dick. You could do a floating dick.
Hey, you're breaking rule number one.
A floating dick with a fucking NASA spacesuit.
That's the only thing we're trying not to do.
Yeah. If I got an extra Asteroids Deluxe Mini, I would actually try to mount the monitor transverse and kind of
build it up.
I think so. You could. You'd have to take out the marquee light and remove the speaker, but you could
Top down, like race driven, and have it sticking out the top.
Yeah, the definitely. Top. Yeah,
there's room.
Do put two mirrors in so it can. You can have the like view out the top, like you know, Dragon's Lair.
Yeah,
or have it down in the bottom.
Another idea I had was like the monitor gels, like on Asteroids and all that stuff. Like
yeah, they made some of those aftermarket for Asteroids.
Yeah, like Star Castle has like the three color stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And Space Invaders has like the whatever. Like say like on Omega Race, you could do like the center section where they're scoring.
Yeah. Sure. Why isn't that two colors?
Just do stupid shit like, you know, like we have the extra ships, you can make those yellow squares.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just make stuff like, you know, just add more to it. I thought about actually making some aftermarket stuff and selling it.
Mine's missing a gel, so make me a cool gel.
I could make you some gel. Do you want to be gelling?
Yeah.
I'm like Magellan.
I have a whole roll of film of like all the colors of.
Oh, cool! Yeah, we should do it.
I have like red, green, gold.
Figure out a good way to bond them together, maybe. Yeah. You know,
Coin Rejects branded merchandise.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like Coin Rejects cap kits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got plenty of them.
Yeah.
They won't fit anything. They're just all my old caps. I'll put them in a bag for you. Yeah. Here's your cap kit.
But wouldn't that be cool? Like the score section, the score
Star
section.
Wars repair kit.
Yeah, with Jordan's face on it.
Yeah. Some ICs.
Yeah, would that be cool? Like this, even the score section in like Asteroids Deluxe, like that could just be like a red.
Yeah,
red
it could be different. Like the way Battlezone did it. How it was red and green.
Yeah, exactly. Adding different elements to it.
Anything that's static, you know, that doesn't move, you can change the color.
And obviously, you'd have like a
Vectrex overlay.
Obviously,
Exactly.
And obviously, you'd have like an asteroid fly through and like, oh shit, that's a red asteroid for 2 seconds. But that's just part of the fun of it.
That's
anyways,
the charm.
Doesn't matter.
Double score.
Yeah.
If you hit it when it's red.
Yep. Yeah. Just tell people that.
When you hit it,
they'll never hit it.
Don't ever go in the red section. You'll be fucked. And then we'll have Ian do a ROM hack. If you get in the red section, you're fucked.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everybody. So another episode has come to a close. Please visit our website at coinrejects.com. Tweet at us your super high Donkey Kong scores at coinrejects on Twitter. Or send us an email at coinrejects@gmail.com and just tell us how awesome you are, how much you want to hear about laser games, or how you're going to steal Brandon's Asteroids Deluxe gel idea.
What game do you want to be in Ian's game room next? Will Jordan work on Stunt Cycle?
Do we have a phone number?
We will have a phone number. Let's play some. We're going to have a phone number maybe someday. Let's play some fucking games.
We want voicemails.
Play some games.
Let's play games.
Play games.
Drink beer. Play games.
Let's play Donkey Kong some more.
Let's play Donkey Kong. Let's
beat. Jordan, play Donkey Kong again.
Jordan, redeem yourself from the 1600.
There's no redeeming that.
Tripled my score.
No, I'm still playing. I haven't died yet.
I'm playing for real this time.
Hey, you beat your high score.
Alrighty.
Jesus.
like tripled it.
Jordan redeemed himself. He's at 5,400 right now.
Jump on Donkey Kong's foot.
I guess I'll play
just the five asteroids for a little bit. Oh yeah. So that the Wizard of War kit, is that the one that has the like the dial up thing?
Mine does not have it. Because
is that an option?
It was an option.
I looked at that website. It's pretty cool. Except for the fact that's just another venue for like people to post their high scores. Right.
Yeah. If they had a way for me for like to post it to a server I controlled, I would have been all for it. But I don't give a fuck about it showing up on some random German website.
Sorry to hear that.
I specifically asked before I bought, and they were just like, "No, we have no interest in doing that." Oh, all right.
No sale.
Cheaper without it anyway.
I got it all wrong. But yeah, I noticed they had like a bunch of other games on there.
Yeah, they have a bunch of weird shit that no one really cares about, so I'm into it. Yep, I like weird shit no one cares about. It's good.
Fireball.
Oh, yeah. You can do that. You can also, I think it's like one player and up will add a credit.
Okay.
It's got the Vector Labs switcher is in there, even though there's only one board. And it has to do with the add credit.
Is that the Swither?
Yeah, the Swither.
Swither Sweet.
Swither Sweet. That's what I was going to say, you bastard.
So that happens when we spend 40 hours together.
What, Swither Sweet
jokes?
Yeah, we become the same person. That's kind of scary. Who's MWH?
My white homie.
White homie. MWH, your white homie. 104,000 on asteroids. That's better than I can get. It's pretty good.
I tell you, them white people can play those games.
My white homie.
That's, I gotta say, like, you know, we might not be good at basketball, but we're good at video games. MWH. Wow. We've got, like, the whole scoreboard.
Not very good at asteroids.
Yep, white people are good at asteroids.
Come on, Hagrid, don't fail me. Hit them barrels.
Damn it!
Ham stroker.
Someday.
Ham stroker's Dracula.
Directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
This Donkey Kong, or this Jumpman, is so much more badass than Donkey Kong 2.
Oh, damn it, I forgot to talk about it. I was going to talk about something really funny.
Alright, I almost got to your score, Brandon. But I fucked off on the letters.
Fuck! Who's MWH? Ian.
What?
MWH. He's got like all the asteroid scores.
By Wyoming?
Is this? Did you just open one of these?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just open one of these? My can's over on my side of the table.
All right, that's real nice.